Have you ever looked at a maybe a struggling business and wondered if, you know, with the right touch, it could become an absolute powerhouse? And like in less than a year, we're talking about a situation where the owner might have been doing all the quote unquote right corporate things, but totally missed that hands-on magic you need for small business
Yeah,
success.
that disconnect.
Exactly. So today, we're diving deep into an incredible case study that shows exactly how you can flip that script. Our mission really is to unpack the journey of Stephen Fowler. This guy seems like a true strategic wizard. He acquired, radically transformed, and then sold Hughes Home Service LLC
And quickly, too.
incredibly quickly. What makes this so compelling? He generated over a 100% return on his investment in just 10 months. So we're going to explore his playbook, how he pinpointed that hidden potential, meticulously optimized pretty much every facet of operations, and then crafted this brilliant, profitable exit strategy.
What's really fascinating here, I think, is how Stephen didn't just sort of stumble into success. It wasn't luck. He deliberately leveraged the specific weaknesses of that previous corporate-minded owner.
Right.
And he capitalized on very clear market opportunities, especially within the, rapidly growing but super competitive Atlanta home services scene.
A tough market.
Yeah, and this isn't just a story about numbers, though the numbers are amazing. It's about this unique blend of market intelligence, seeing value where others were frankly blind to it, and then executing a remarkably focused short-term ownership strategy. You're going to walk away with some really concrete insights into what genuinely drives business value and how rapid transformative change is actually achievable.
And we're drawing all our insights today from the detailed case study, Hughes Home Service LLC, a strategic acquisition success, which, I mean, it lays out Stephen's entire tactical playbook. So if you're curious about entrepreneurship, strategic investments, or, you know, you just love a gripping turnaround story, definitely stick around.
All right, let's unpack this. How do you even begin to spot a gold mine like this one? Stephen Feller wasn't just like throwing darts at a board, right?
Yeah.
He had a really precise lens for opportunity. What was it about Hughes Home Service specifically that made it sparkle for him when others might have just seen, well, a struggling company?
That's a crucial question because it gets right to the heart of spotting hidden opportunity. In this instance, it was really about a fundamental misalignment.
Okay.
The existing founder, you know, he was an experienced corporate professional, used to managing from a distance through layers of hierarchy,
That
spreadsheets.
30,000 foot view? Exactly. But a local home service business, it thrives on hands-on granular operational detail. Managing technicians day to day, optimizing schedules, the customer experience, hyper-local marketing. Imagine trying to run that kind of detailed local service business using only a corporate hands-off approach. That disconnect, that operational gap, that was the key.
I see.
Stephen recognized that the previous owner's strength, his corporate background, actually became a glaring weakness in this specific small business context. It created this kind of vacuum of opportunity.
So the previous owner's corporate style was the weakness, and Steven's ability to get hands-on was the strength.
Okay. Beyond that operational gap, what tangible assets did Stephen see? Things that had, latent value just waiting to be leveraged.
Well, he really zeroed in on two critical yet underutilized asset categories: human and digital capital.
Interesting. Human digital.
Yeah.
The existing team, believe it or not, was actually an organizational strength. They were skilled, they were loyal, they were ready to be empowered. That meant Stephen could scale quickly without having to start from scratch, building a whole new team.
Huge advantage.
Massive. And then there was the digital gold mine. Over 15 years of curated content just sitting on YouTube.
15 years,
Yeah.
Mara.
And this wasn't just random videos, it was a real treasure trove of demonstrations, expertise, a powerful, underutilized platform for digital marketing and organic growth that the previous owner just hadn't fully tapped into. It was like having a secret, well-stocked library that nobody was visiting.
That's a fantastic point about hidden digital assets. It makes you think, how many small businesses have dormant social media or old blogs just sitting there, maybe unknowingly building goodwill, waiting for someone like Stephen to unlock it? Okay, so Stephen's got his sights set on this business, sees the potential, but finding the target is one thing. Actually getting the deal done, especially a favorable one, that's another challenge. How did he navigate that?
Right, and he didn't just stumble upon it. He sourced the opportunity off market.
Off market, key term there.
Absolutely key. This meant he found the seller exactly when they were thinking about maybe getting a broker, but before they'd actually listed the business.
Timing is everything.
Totally. This proactive approach allowed him to completely bypass a competitive bidding process and negotiate directly with the seller. By cutting out broker fees and the pressure of multiple bidders, he secured significantly more favorable purchase terms. That's a massive strategic advantage right from the get-go in any acquisition. It's really about being ahead of the curve.
Okay, so moving from identifying this incredible opportunity to actually securing it, how did Steven set up the financial side, you know, to maximize his advantage and really lay the groundwork for the rapid growth he was planning?
Right. Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, Steven's financial strategy from day one was incredibly sophisticated. He knew that the foundation for a rapid flip had to be absolutely rock solid.
Makes sense.
So he performed the quality of earnings or QOE analysis himself.
Himself. Okay.
Yeah. Now, for those maybe unfamiliar, QA is about digging into a company's financials way beyond a standard audit. You're trying to understand its true sustainable profitability.
Getting past the surface numbers.
Exactly. You're stripping out, say, one-off expenses or maybe aggressive accounting practices that might artificially inflate the figures, like maybe a big non-recurring legal bill one year.
Got it.
He used 4 years of QuickBooks data and tax returns to verify the sustainability, the accuracy of historical earnings, adjusting for all those non-recurring things. This gave him absolute confidence that no significant nasty liabilities were lurking in the shadows, made the business a much safer bet for that rapid investment he planned.
So he did his own deep dive, his own QOE. That's some serious hands-on dedication. But I have to ask, doesn't performing your own financial analysis, rather than getting a third party, maybe introduce some bias or even risk, especially if you're planning a quick exit? How did he balance that? And then, crucially, how did he actually fund this whole thing?
That's a really sharp question. And you're right, there's always that potential perception. But the confidence came from the sheer rigor he applied to the QOE process. He essentially became the hypercritical third party, leveraging his own deep financial expertise.
Okay.
He was meticulous, scrutinizing every single line item in a way that, frankly, an external firm might struggle to do with the same depth without charging a fortune. And armed with that confidence, he made another key choice, a stock purchase over an asset purchase.
Ah, the stock versus asset distinction. Explain that a bit.
Sure. So an asset purchase means you're just buying individual things, the trucks, the customer lists, maybe some equipment. A stock purchase means you're buying the entire legal entity, warts and all, potentially, but also its history, its established brand, and crucially, its goodwill.
That intangible value.
Exactly. That reputation and customer loyalty built over years. This choice, while technically taking on the company's past, allowed him to retain Hughes Home Services' valuable 5 years of established goodwill. Again, he was confident his QOE had unearthed no significant hidden liabilities.
Okay, makes sense, given his homework. And the funding.
Right, the funding. This was maybe the most critical piece. He used the private equity of his own firm, Fowler Capital. He avoided SBA loans or any external financial debt.
Wow, no debt.
No debt. A total game changer. It eliminated debt service payments, which meant all cash flow could be reinvested directly back into the business for that rapid growth engine he was building. Plus, he developed a detailed depreciation schedule to maximize tax avoidance, which further significantly increased free cash flow. It was really a masterclass in financial engineering specifically designed for growth.
All right, so Steven gets the keys to the kingdom. He's got this solid financial foundation, a clear understanding of the business's real value, but the real transformation, the magic, had to happen on the ground, right? What were the key levers he actually pulled inside Hughes Home Service that allowed for such a rapid, phenomenal turnaround in just 10 months?
Well, what's fascinating here is it wasn't just one thing. It was a truly multifaceted approach. He focused on building and leveraging intangible assets while at the same time dramatically improving operational efficiency.
Okay, like what specifically?
Well, for instance, he immediately set about strengthening the brand reputation. Things like professional vehicle wraps, essentially turning every company truck into a mobile billboard buzzing around Atlanta.
That smart, visible brand.
Very smart. He also professionalized the workforce, not just by hiring, but by seriously investing in the existing team. And crucially, he developed high-value intellectual property, like new proprietary IT systems tailored specifically for the unique demands of home services. These weren't just off-the-shelf solutions. They were custom-built to optimize their specific workflows.
That makes a lot of sense, building from the inside out. Let's talk numbers, though. How did these internal changes, especially to the people and the systems, translate into actual operational capacity and, you know, revenue growth?
Yeah, the impact was dramatic. His improvements to human capital through training, incentives, clear career paths combined with those new IT systems led to an incredible doubling of operational capacity within just 6 months.
Doubled in 6 months.
Doubled. And it didn't stop there. A staggering 2.5 times increase in capacity over the full 10 months. This expanded capacity was absolutely essential to handle the massive 120% growth in 12-month trailing revenue that he achieved. You simply can't grow revenue like that if you can't deliver the services reliably.
Wow, 2.5 times the capacity, that's an exponential jump. But how did he specifically drive that kind of revenue growth in such a short time? Where did the new business come from?
It was a very comprehensive and really targeted strategy. He expanded geographically, opening up fresh customer bases in nearby areas. He also landed the organization's first commercial contract. That was a huge win, generating revenue 5 times the average residential ticket price.
5 times. Okay, that moves the needle.
Big time. And he strategically created tiered offerings. This allowed him to penetrate both the upmarket, you know, offering premium higher value services, and also the downmarket with more entry-level solutions. The plan was brilliant. Get customers in the door at the lower tier, provide great service, and then strategically upsell them to those higher value services over time.
Clever. And in today's world, you really can't talk about rapid growth like that without a sophisticated digital marketing engine, right?
Absolutely not. And he deployed a highly sophisticated one. It was all powered by a new CRM system, Odoo.com.
Odoo?
Yeah, and interestingly, this wasn't some costly cloud-based subscription like Salesforce. It was a robust, self-hosted, open-source solution.
Ah, open source. So more control, lower recurring costs.
Exactly. High customization capabilities without those hefty recurring cloud fees.
Yeah.
It gave him full control and generated significant savings. He personally led this really in-depth Google keyword analysis, deployed automated PPC pay-per-click campaigns that pushed the organization right to the number one spot for key industry keywords.
Number one. That's huge.
Huge. And incredibly, while doing that, he actually lowered their customer acquisition cost by nearly 18% compared to competitors. This wasn't just spending money blindly. It was spending it surgically, maximizing ROI on every dollar.
That is a massive efficiency gain, especially lowering customer acquisition costs while grabbing the top spot in a competitive market like Atlanta. But, you know, implementing a whole new CRM system like Odoo and all that automation that can be really disruptive internally. How did Steven manage to roll that out, plus the new sales tools, so effectively and quickly without, you know, massive internal resistance or a big dip in performance while people learned?
That's a really key point, because adoption is everything. His success here came from, again, his hands-on approach and demonstrating clear benefits for the team.
Making it work for them, not just to them.
Precisely. He enhanced the entire sales process with tools like CallRail.com for trackable phone numbers. This allowed for precise attribution. They could see exactly which marketing channels were bringing in the leads. So the sales team immediately saw why these tools were helping them close more deals.
Ah, proof in the pudding.
Exactly. And then OpenPhone.com was implemented for things like advanced call routing, automatic call transcripts, even SMS text automation, and it all integrated directly into the CRM. This meant less manual data entry, better follow-up, streamlined communication overall. These were benefits that directly empowered the staff, made their jobs easier and more effective, rather than just adding another layer of complexity. It showed them the why very clearly.
Okay, so beyond the digital wizardry and the systems, what about the people, the technicians, the sales staff, and the overall brand, the sort of face of the company?
Yeah, he focused heavily on human capital development. He put in performance-based incentive structures for both technicians and sales staff, which not only motivated them, but genuinely rewarded excellence.
Skin in the game.
Right. He developed professional career paths within the company, showing employees there was a real future there, not just a job. He even instituted a profit-sharing program for principal-level employees to significantly improve the culture and, crucially, retention.
Profit-sharing, that's significant.
Very. For the brand itself, as I mentioned, he updated all the company vehicles with those modern eye-catching wraps, turning them into highly effective mobile billboards, generating leads just by driving around. He also implemented a systematic process for reputation management, proactively engaging with customers, asking for feedback, which resulted in doubling the number of positive Google reviews.
Doubling reviews is tough.
It is. He launched a formal customer referral program, too, with a pretty generous $500 incentive for booked jobs that came from referrals. And finally, he developed a partner channel networking with complementary service providers, like plumbers or electricians, to create this steady stream of high-quality referral-based leads. Essentially, every single touchpoint, internal and external, was optimized.
So, okay, all these incredible operational changes, from the digital marketing wins to incentivizing staff and building partnerships, they must have had a profound impact on the financial health of the business, right? Let's look at the numbers again.
Yeah, this really highlights that crucial question. How did all these operational efficiencies and these strategic investments translate directly into such dramatic profitability? Well, Steven's implementation of things like a dynamic pricing model, coupled with relentless cost optimization strategies, were absolutely pivotal.
Yeah.
The result, the gross margin skyrocketed from 28% to an impressive 45%.
Wow, 28 to 45% gross margin. That's a massive leap. That tells a powerful story of efficiency right there. Before Steven, 28% seems quite low for a service business. Where did the most significant cost savings actually come from to make such an improvement?
He delivered really substantial improvements across the board. The COGS to revenue ratio, that's the cost of goods sold relative to the revenue coming in, dropped significantly from 55% down to 45%.
Okay.
A few key ways. He designed a new staffing plan that strategically allowed for outsourcing and offshoring certain administrative and maybe non-core technical tasks. He leveraged machine learning, ML, and artificial intelligence, AI.
AI and home services. Tell me more.
Yeah. Think about using it to automate parts of the workload. Things like automated scheduling optimization algorithms, finding the most efficient routes and technician assignments based on real-time data. Or maybe even using chatbots to handle initial customer inquiries, freeing up human staff for the more complex issues.
Practical applications.
Very practical. These aren't just buzzwords. It's about making every aspect of service delivery smarter, more efficient. And the other big 2GS win was successfully negotiating with new material suppliers. He managed to reduce the cost of core solution components by an astonishing 42.84%.
Nearly cut core costs in half. That's incredible negotiation. Okay, so AI and ML apply to real-world problems like scheduling and routing in a home services company that's genuinely forward-thinking. What about the general administrative costs, the overhead? Did he find efficiencies there too?
Absolutely. The SG&A to revenue ratio, that's selling, general, and administrative costs, which was a pretty hefty 30% before he came in, plummeted to a highly efficient 9.5%.
Wow, from 30 down to 9.5. How do you manage that?
Mostly by optimizing things like insurance policies, getting better rates, ensuring the coverage matched the actual risk, and critically, bringing previously outsourced legal and finance workloads in-house. This significantly reduced reliance on costly external services like outside lawyers or accounting firms.
Taking control internally.
Exactly. So the cumulative result of all these strategic, operational, and financial maneuvers, an exceptional 117.26% total return on his investment in just 10 months, which, if you annualize that, translates to a return of roughly 140.71%. Just phenomenal results for such a short hold period.
So he didn't just grow the business like crazy. He meticulously prepared it for a seamless and clearly highly profitable sale. What were his key moves for setting up this strategic exit? It really sounds like he was thinking like a seller from day one.
He absolutely was. The exit strategy was basically baked into the entire transformation process from the beginning. For instance, he created a new complementary brand specifically to decouple the IT portion, the custom software and systems, from the main home services business's intellectual property.
Ah, separate the tech IP. Why was that smart?
It was brilliant because it gave options. It allowed the valuable IT systems and software developed during his ownership to be sold either with the main business or potentially retained separately as its own valuable asset. As it turned out, the buyer ultimately elected to acquire this IP along with the business, which validated its substantial value and showcased its strategic importance to the future operations.
Gave the buyer flexibility, proving the IP's worth.
Exactly. He also created a detailed 3-year growth roadmap. This wasn't just some vague vision. It identifies specific potential geographic expansions, new high-margin service verticals they could move into. It was a clear, documented growth runway that essentially provided the next owner with a ready-made blueprint for future success. That dramatically enhanced the business's attractiveness and undoubtedly its final sale price.
What an absolutely incredible deep dive into strategic business management, value creation, just wow. Stephen Fowler's ownership of Hughes Home Service LLC really exemplifies how market foresight, operational excellence, and a meticulously planned exit strategy can lead to truly extraordinary outcomes, even in a very, very short time frame.
It really reinforces that idea, doesn't it? That knowledge is most valuable when it's actually understood and applied effectively. You've seen how identifying that critical market gap, rigorously analyzing the financials yourself, making those strategic hands-on investments in people and technology, even bringing in things like AI for cost savings, and just meticulously managing every single line item can fundamentally transform a business. It's really a powerful testament to the impact of focused hands-on leadership and having a very clear vision.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? Well, perhaps it's a prompt to look at the businesses around you with, you know, fresh eyes. What latent value might be hiding in plain sight in an organization you know? Maybe just waiting for the right strategic approach. Or maybe think about how applying a corporate professional's strategic mindset to a small business's operational needs, or maybe doing the reverse, could create some really unexpected value.
Yeah, and consider how these core principles, things like off-market sourcing, doing your own deep due diligence, implementing advanced CRM systems and AI for efficiency, building those robust digital marketing engines, how they might be applicable across a surprising range of industries, not just home services. It really encourages you to question assumptions, look for those kinds of misalignments Stephen found, and always hunt for opportunities to apply critical thinking in any information-rich environment you encounter.
We really hope this deep dive has given you some powerful nuggets of knowledge and maybe truly inspired you to think differently about business transformation and value creation. We'll catch you next time for another deep dive into your sources.